Okay, so you guys know that I'm passionate about wrestling. What you may not know is that I'm also a big fitness enthusiast. I'm passionate about wrestling, and I'm also passionate about fitness. But what's most important to me is, what am I putting into my body? That is what is important to me, and I would really encourage you guys to check out NAIOLabs.com. That's NAIOLabs.com, NAIOLabs.com. They have the cleanest pre-workout on the market. There's no tolerance buildup, no crash. There's a great pump with high energy. And if you're a vegan, well, you're in luck because this is a 100% vegan product. The ingredients are NCAA compliant. There's no fillers, no crap. Okay. You won't need to go to the bathroom in the middle of your workout. You don't need to just run to the bathroom, take a quick break and come back. That's not going to happen here. They also don't charge for shipping for US orders. And if you want 10% off, we all love saving money. If you want 10% off, well, I've got an offer for you right now. And put in the code when you're checking out, MATT2019, M-A-T-T 2019, and you'll get 10% off of your order. You can't go wrong here, guys. Check out NAIOLabs.com. They've got very high quality product, I'm telling you right now. And like I said, if you want that discount, use MATT2019 at your order at checkout, and you'll get 10% off of your order. Check out NAIOLabs.com today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. And very cool guest today. His name is Tony Chacho, and he is a member on Patreon and a supporter of the show, and had a great conversation with him on the current product. What brought him in as a fan? Because he has only been a fan for 6 months. Insane. And I mean in a great way. You know, as a 20 plus year fan, it is really cool to see and hear what brings people in today and what exactly is drawing them into this product in 2019. And he tells me what it is. I mean, he watched Hulk Hogan back in the 80s, so he hasn't watched wrestling in 30 years. And he is now fully engaged, a student of the game, and is watching with his son, his daughter. And so they've also got really into it and are watching it with their dad. And it's a cool story. I mean, this is one of those feel-good podcasts. I mean, I think that this is a show that you'll enjoy. I think that it's fun to really listen to somebody who's just become a fan and is making this a family event. And it's just, you don't hear it too often because there are so many shows out there and so many opinions, and from guys that have, I've listened and watched wrestling for 30 years, for 40 years, and they have a very intricate expert perspective, but they can't duplicate the mindset and the intelligence of somebody who's just coming in and the reasoning of somebody just coming in. You can't duplicate that. I don't care how many years you've been watching wrestling. You cannot duplicate someone who is just coming in and the reasoning why. And at the same time, that's a good thing because it reminds us why we're fans. And there was a moment in this show where he let me know why he does what he does, and he let me know why he watches wrestling, and it really brought me back and reminded me why we love this sport of wrestling. And so anyway, it's a really cool conversation. But before we get there, guys, thank you again for joining me. This is a WWE podcast. This is the WWE podcast, not just a. It's the WWE podcast. No affiliation with WWE. But thank you for joining me. I'm on Patreon. patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want an ad-free experience and to get on the show and get a shout out and several other cool items. And I'm also on Spreaker. I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on iTunes. I'm on really iHeartRadio, anywhere that you can find audio. I will likely be there, which is a cool deal that I can reach so many people and talk WWE. And so I'm enjoying having different guests on the show rather than just hear you guys hear me, just me. Just me. As interesting as my voice may be, it is always a good deal to have another person there to agree, debate, and just change it up from my monotone voice, as somebody put it. Gotta love reviews. So anyway, guys, this is Tony Chacho and a really cool guy from Long Island, and is a fan and has been a fan since, ironically, the day that Roman Reigns announced he had leukemia and said his real name was Joe. And I don't want to give it away. It was just a very cool interview, and I'm going to get to that right now. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back. And right now I have Tony Chacho, and he is a brand new wrestling fan who, well, I should say brand new, but in the last 6 months, and to most of us who listen to these podcasts, this is a brand new fan, which I'm super excited to get his perspective on because he doesn't come in with any preconceived notions. He got into it from his daughter and his son, who got into it as well. And I'm really, really curious to get his take on what's going on with Becky Lynch, how he got into it after removing himself for how many years that he got into it from Hulk Hogan era, which is 20, 30 years ago. So I'm really, really interested to see how he got back into it. Again, get his perspective on today's product. And without further ado, I want to welcome you to the show, Tony Chacho. How you doing?
Hey, man. How are you, my friend? So excited to be on your show and looking forward to having a fun conversation.
Me too. You know, we connected on Patreon, and I'm very grateful for you being a patron of the show. And it's always cool to bring new people on. And like I said, being a new fan, I'm just so curious because I haven't been that new fan since I started in 1997. So it's just a very unique perspective that I'm going to get into. And so let's just start with it. How did you, after, I know that you said you watched Hulk Hogan back in the 80s, maybe early 90s, how did you get back into it after all this time?
You know, it's funny. I never would have thought that I would be talking on a wrestling podcast, say, 8 months ago. I would have laughed at myself if somebody had put me in a time machine, but it was a pretty cool story. So we go on vacation back in August, family vacation, a beautiful wife. I have two children. I have a 14-year-old daughter, and I have a 10-year-old boy. And I don't know how, I should ask him, but my 10-year-old son, you know, he's getting a little downtime. He's playing on his iPad or whatnot, and he starts going on WWE YouTube channels, and he's watching these wrestling things. And I'm looking over his shoulder, and I'm getting a kick out of him, and I'm thinking, like, yeah, you know, that's kind of silly, that stuff that he's watching. And, you know, but I thought it was cool. He was really getting into it. And on the plane ride back, him and I were sitting next to each other. We start watching some of the videos, and I was like, wow, these guys and gals, they're pretty good, you know. And it started getting me thinking about when I was a kid. I'm 44 years old, and I remember watching Hulk Hogan. I'm, you know, 10-year-old kid, and it's the Iran hostage crisis, and, you know, I don't know what the heck's going on. I think, you know, they're going to take me hostage. I remember thinking that as a kid, and all of a sudden, I'm watching Hulk Hogan fighting the Iron Sheik, and it was real to me. You know, I'm watching Hulk Hogan. I don't know. I don't remember how I saw it. If it, you know, I'm sure it wasn't pay-per-views back then, but, and I watch him, and I see him defeat the Iron Sheik, and it was, to me, it was the greatest thrill of my life. And I can remember, I just remember the joy I had. And, man, I don't know what happened, but for some reason, I just stopped watching wrestling. I never watched it in the 90s. I never watched it in the 2000s. I mean, I know who The Rock is. I heard of John Cena, seen him in a couple of movies. But zilch, zero, nothing. Couldn't tell you anything about anybody from the mid-80s up until September of 2018, just last September, when I started watching it. I got to tell you something. I'm hook, line, and sinker. Haven't missed a Raw, haven't missed a SmackDown. Can't stop listening to podcasts. I go on Twitter. My wife makes fun of me, but you know what? I love it. And I get to spend time with my wife. Excuse me. My wife doesn't watch it, but spend time with my daughter and my son. And it's a joy that we have. And it's, you know, and I'm so grateful that I hooked up with you. Love your content on Patreon, your podcasts. Give you a shout out, give you a little plug here. I've been trying to find the best ones, and I really truly feel that you give the best content. So that's why I'm, you know, kind of tuned into what you're doing.
Well, I really do appreciate that endorsement. I really do think that that's it's humbling to hear that, because you know you live for this product, and I live for this product. I love it. I have a 9-month-old son, and so he's kind of my life. But this is my second life, right. So you know, and I really do appreciate it. And so when you got back into it in September of 18, what was the first thing that you saw that you were like, wow, like it's been so long. What brought you in? Was there a specific story, character? What was there, like, that aha moment? Did you have that moment where you're like, okay, now I'm hooked. I need to watch this more. Like, what was it?
Yeah, well, that's great, because that kind of ties into what's going on currently. So I started watching with my son because he really got into it. And it was, you know, at first it was an excuse for me to just hang with him. And we were watching it. And I may have been, like, you know, playing around on my phone while he was watching it. But I started getting sucked in slowly. I don't remember exactly the date, but it was when Roman Reigns. Now, I didn't even know who Roman Reigns was. I'd never even heard of his name. So we're watching the Raw episode when Roman Reigns comes out and he introduces himself as Joe. And I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't know if this was real or if this was fake. And then he tells everybody he's got leukemia. And we're like, and it was real. It was powerful. My son was like upset because he knew who Roman Reigns was. I didn't even know. I'm asking him. So then we watched that whole Raw, and at the end of that episode, the end of that show, you know, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, boom, Dean Ambrose turns heel and he beats the you-know-what out of Seth Rollins. My son couldn't sleep that night because it was so emotional. It really was. It was a roller coaster, you know, the Shield and all this and that. And he you know, it bothered me a little bit. He was like so emotionally taken over by it, and it just sucked us in. So again, I don't remember if that was what, like September, you know, November, maybe October. I can't remember exactly, but that was the episode. And then of course, you know, when Becky Lynch, took a shot and got her face exploded by Nia Jax. You know, that started, as far as I'm concerned, the whole narrative of what's going on right now with Becky Lynch and the legend that I think organically has been growing with her and her story. Seems pretty cool.
That, you know what, like, as I'm thinking, you're talking about when you got in, it's almost as if the wrestling gods have shined their light on you, because you got in at a time that, if I had not watched the product for 10 years, was the perfect time to get in. Because that segment with Roman Reigns that was in October, and he's talking about, he has leukemia, my name is Joe, I've been living with this for 11 years, and he has to relinquish the Universal Championship. That is a time that if you don't really know what wrestling is and you have this preconceived notion that it's this fake stuff and people just jumping around in tights, that was a real moment. I mean, even for – I don't care how long or how many decades you've been watching, that's a real moment. There was nothing scripted about that. And so you got in at a time that when it wasn't scripted, it was meant to pull at your heartstrings, and it did, and it succeeded, and it was a real thing. And so it was a perfect time. It didn't turn you away from a bad comedy skit or something that was overly scripted. And you also, on top of that, were with the Becky Lynch revolution that had happened just a month prior, with her getting her face busted and the fans just organically getting behind her. You were just perfectly timed. So the wrestling gods were in your corner for sure.
Yeah. I kind of think that, because I've been going back a little bit, trying to catch up on the storylines. You know, the WWE website is pretty cool. It, you know, kind of gives you all the superstars and their bios and whatnot. And it does look that way. It looks like I kind of got in a nice spot. And one of the reasons why, Matt, that I'm really into this, it's the stories are cool. You know, sometimes certain things get a little corny here and there, but these athletes, and that's what they really are. They're tremendous at executing, you know, their moves and whatnot. And I have such a respect for them, you know, that they really just, you know, I'm like, where do they get the time to train? How do they rehearse? All these things are going through my brain. I'm sure someone like yourself, who's been into this for such a long time, you probably know all the answers to these questions. I don't. And I'm just suspending my reality. I'm just rolling with it, and I'm enjoying it. And I just have a lot of respect for these athletes. I see many of them are very charitable. you know, they're good people, it seems, and I'm really just invested in this now, and I'm going to be a long term. I'm really, really excited about this journey.
I think that's a point that often gets lost in those that have been watching for so long, and that's why I like to hear from new people, is that fact that these are world-class athletes that are putting literally their lives on the line every single night that they're out there, regardless of whether it's a performance or not. This is a life, this is your life that they're putting at risk, and like every single move that they do, if they do just a fraction off, could paralyze them for life. And that's often just taken for granted as we're watching. And I mean, I've seen thousands and thousands of matches, and it just, unfortunately, as a human being, you after watching for something for so long, you take it for granted that they're never going to get hurt, or they're probably fine. And in 9 times out of 10, and 99% of the time, they're fine. But we lose track and lose sight of just how good that these individuals, men and women, are at what they do, and the sacrifices, as you mentioned, that they have to do in their lives. They are missing family time at home. They're on the road 250 days out of the year. They do somehow find time to train. And you said, I may know. Well, sometimes I don't know how they find time to train with all of the travel, all of the TV promotions they have to do, renting cars, finding hotels. All of that has to really take a toll. And you know, again, like, that's really cool to hear, because I haven't really thought about that in a while, is, man, these are real people who have real families that are sacrificing all of that to hone a craft that they love, to risk their lives to do it in front of thousands of people every night. It's really refreshing to take a step back to the beginning of what brings people into wrestling. And this is a cool element that I think is often overlooked by fans of today.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I may have mentioned this to you when we were, you know, talking before we started recording, but one of the things that really impressed me with one of your previous podcasts, in fact, I think you mentioned it a couple of times, was how, you know, if somebody goofs around and says, how could you be into that phony baloney stuff? It's all scripted. And you always retort with saying, well, hey, listen, do you watch movies? Do you watch TV shows? All that stuff is but, you know, take from that one step further. They don't get a second shot. You know, when they're in the ring, there's no, hey, cut, let's do it again. I don't like how that move went. Try it again, climb the rope, do it again. No, they get one shot. And I have been, again, short sample size here. I cannot remember or have seen where somebody screwed up, where like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. That was so obvious. They were supposed to do this. And again, I'm sure it's happened. It's just, they're so trained that I don't find it. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes I'm looking for it. Sometimes I'm looking for it. I'm going like, oh, was that part of the plan? And these athletes, and both men and women, I've been so impressed by the women athletes, so, which was something that surprised me. I'm not trying to sound, sexist here, but I thought that they were, my recollection was that the women athletes were, you know, more of like a lingerie kind of type of, sex symbols. Wow. I was wrong. They're incredible. What performances they put on.
You got in a great time for that reason, too, that you missed that whole era of 10 to 15, almost 20 years of them just being sex symbols. I mean, that's pretty much what they were. The majority of them were out there to just kind of be either a stopgap in between matches or a bathroom break, or just some kind of sexual segment that was eye rolling. And so you got in at a time where the women have made a massive, massive comeback. And for the first time ever, you're seeing a main event of WrestleMania be with women. And I'm so just proud to be a part of this time when the women are going to be main eventing WrestleMania. It's unheard of from just being a wrestling fan. For even if you've watched it for over 10 years, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, the fact that the women have come from what they've come from to main event WrestleMania, it's mind blowing. And I know that you don't have those memories of the lingerie pillow fights and just the embarrassing moments that women have had on TV and WWE to where they are now. It's awesome to be here and now, and there's no better time to be a wrestling fan. And so that kind of leads me into the next topic of Becky and Ronda. So I know we chatted a little bit before we pressed record here, but what are your thoughts and what's your son's thoughts on Becky and Ronda?
Well, you know, Becky and Ronda is an interesting topic because I feel my instinct is telling me that the creative writers over at the WWE, however long in advance they planned for this stuff, didn't plan this. I could be wrong. I just get that feel that Ronda was supposed to be she was the one that was supposed to be the champion forever, and she was the one that was supposed to be the popular with the fans, but the face. I mean, I'm still learning all the lingo here. So this Becky Lynch, it appears to me, came out of nowhere. Maybe in July or in August before I really got into it, she was making a rise. I don't recall her when I first started watching it, but it just seems so real. I went to two house shows in December. I took my kids. We saw a Raw match and we saw a SmackDown. And when Becky Lynch came out, it was insane. It was like I was at a Yankee game, showing my allegiance here. I'm a Yankee fan, but like Aaron Judge hitting a home run, it had that same buzz going on. So now I feel that, now they're going to WrestleMania, I feel that WWE realizes they're onto something here. They got something natural. Maybe that's something that they didn't plan. But Ronda, she's the heel. Nobody, she gets booed. Becky is the one that everybody wants to see, win. And I love what they're currently doing by, making Becky the persona non grata, where she's, the enemy, everybody's against her. I kind of think that that's really going to make this unpredictable, exciting. And I got to be honest with you, I can't wait for WrestleMania. I can't wait to see how this plays out. And like I said, hook, line, and sinker. Now, more important, my daughter is really in tune to this Becky Lynch, drama that's going on. She's a 14-year-old girl, and I guess it's not cool to be into wrestling at 14, especially as a girl. But it's like almost like a feminist movement thing with her, where she's like, yeah, look, she could do it, I could do it. She's beating Ronda Rousey, who's supposed to be the baddest woman in the world, and she's all and she's the underdog. But it's like a Rocky movie almost, and she's into it. She wears the man shirt to school and follows up all the time. So it's I don't know. I know you're questioning me, but let me ask you, was this something that was planned by the WWE? Is this really organic? Are they that good of actors, or is this something that is natural?
So originally what had happened was Becky was not going to be in the WrestleMania plans. Becky Lynch had her explosion happen was SummerSlam back in August, where they tried to turn her heel and the fans absolutely ate it up, and they loved that new edge that Becky had had because she had been there for so many years and seen the misbookings and the mistreatment of the management against her. And so as they're with her on this journey, she turns heel, essentially actually turning her babyface, because the fans just really can relate to the frustration that Becky had of just not being able to win the big one and not being booked properly. It was almost as if the fans were living through her. And so when she turned heel, and I really recommend you, if you have time, to go on YouTube and just turn into or search in the bar Becky Lynch heel turn, and it'll pull up SummerSlam from this past year, and that's where this whole thing happened. Originally, it was supposed to be Ronda versus Charlotte for the main event of WrestleMania this year. And with Becky Lynch really exploding onto the scene, now the fans want one-on-one with Becky and Ronda. And I've been a proponent of one-on-one. However, it looks like they may be going with the triple threat at WrestleMania. Right. And I have my own passionate thoughts about that, but I've kind of come to terms with the fact that that's probably what's going to happen. So you have this explosion of Becky Lynch, who has become the most popular performer in the WWE, I think men or women. I don't believe it really matters what brand or gender you are. Becky Lynch is right now what she says she is. She is the man. And as you mentioned, your 14-year-old daughter, who is wearing this man shirt to school. Listen, I remember a time when I was 14 years old wearing D-Generation X shirts, wearing Stone Cold shirts to school. And, you know, I'd had some friends who had made fun of me or whatever, but you know what? You just have to stand your ground, and I applaud her for going to school like that. I mean, that there's nothing offensive about that shirt. There's nothing that is that I don't believe would indicate, like, you know, hey, like, oh, I'm a wrestling fan. Like, you know, it's a cool shirt. That is, it's so simple. It's very cool, I think. I mean, it's just sometimes the best shirts are the ones that are the most simple. And I love it, and I applaud her for showing that she's a fan and supporting, as you mentioned, kind of a feminist movement and something that is really, in my opinion, should have been done a long time ago with the women in WWE.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, I parent, I try to tell my daughter, hey, you know, no man is better than you. You're better than nobody. You know, you work hard. Everybody should get treated fairly. And I just love this concept of, hey, I'm the man, but it's a girl. I just think it's so such a cool play on the sense. And this girl is a star now. Like I said, when I went to the house show, it was incredible the reception she got. And I totally agree with you. I think she is the most popular star on the roster of everybody. I mean, they just want Becky all the time. And her Twitter game, by the way, I don't know if you're if you monitor her much or if your audience monitors, her Twitter game is so cool. It really is. She's right on point, and she keeps the action going even off camera. She's really cool.
It is. Her Twitter feed, I do keep a close eye on it, as well as Ronda Rousey's. And Ronda Rousey's is it is not very PG friendly. Let me just put it that way. It's right. She kind of goes off the rails, and I've mentioned this before that it's fun to watch her go off the rails. She's a bit of a train wreck when in her promos, and I guess. Yeah, I mean, you haven't really been watching wrestling for too long, but when Ronda Rousey speaks, it doesn't feel like she's scripted. And I think they might give her bullet points and she might remember parts of her script, but man, she takes it and makes it her own, which is an awesome benefit. At the same time, it can also be a bit of a curse for her because she has to remember, number one, she's in a PG environment and her Twitter feed is clearly not being monitored by any or at least filtered by any management in WWE, because if they did, the PR department must be going ablaze from the things that she said and done on her Twitter feed. I mean, it's actually pretty crazy the things she says, and she's trying to make it real with Becky Lynch, but I think right now she's making it a bit too real. It's getting a bit uncomfortable, but as you said with Becky Lynch, I love her Twitter feed. She just comes up with some of the best stuff to torch people, and it's awesome. I love it. It's to me, it's me being entertained by Becky when she's not on TV, and I'm a huge fan. So moving on out of the Becky and Ronda saga, what right now, what else is grabbing you? Is there a particular storyline with the men's division? I know that you also mentioned you've never heard of Batista before, which is, it's crazy to think that, and I don't mean that as an insulting way. It's actually awesome that you've never heard of Batista. So when you see what he did on Monday night, dragging Ric Flair out of his room and Triple H running to the back, what's your whole take on that?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I was kidding around with a buddy of mine at work, that I'm like the Rip Van Winkle of the WWE. You know, I a 30-year gap. I'm like essentially sleeping. I know nothing. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I know some of the big name guys, but I'm like jumping in the middle of a novel. I don't know the beginning, so I have to get fillers. I have a friend, you know, one of my coworkers. He's a big wrestling fan, and he was explaining to me about, you know, Triple H, and that, you know, he never lost to him. And you know, now these are all the things that are on my to-do list to go back and watch these videos, but it's pretty easy to get caught up quickly. But I think it's great, because let me ask you this. Did you see that coming? I know that some other friends of mine that are fans said, wow, we did not see that coming, that angle, on Monday.
That particular angle, at least the way it was done, I didn't see it coming. However, there was rumors for several months of Batista and Triple H going at each other at WrestleMania. So while I didn't expect it the way it was done, Triple H versus Batista itself does not shock me, just because of all the rumors that were floating around for months.
Yeah, and again, like you said earlier, I'd never even heard of him. And no, I did a little bit of research on it, but I like that about my current fandom, is that I get to experience this stuff all for the first time. None of the storylines are old to me. They're all fresh. I get to go back if I want to learn about something, I can go back. You know, technology is great. I can go on the internet and I could fill in the stories. And if the story seems boring, I could just kind of just go with it. And the WWE does a great job as far as working in the past stories into the current stories, so that you kind of never really are lost. My daughter sometimes doesn't watch every single episode like I have been, and she's pretty much caught up, because if she watches, a show, for the most part, they kind of weave it in, and she'll continue. You know, she'll know exactly what's going on.
So, also as a brand new fan, I got to ask, what do you think of the 3-hour format of Monday Night Raw? Is it a marathon? Do you have the Hulu version? How does that fit into your life? Is it a bit long for your life?
It is. It is. Hulu is a wonderful invention. You know, I'm a very busy. I'm a trial lawyer, so I work very, very long hours and kind of have a hectic schedule. So we watch it on on Hulu. And sometimes I see that you have a new podcast, but I can't listen to it right away because I got to catch up first, because if I listen to it, it will ruin the excitement. So sometimes we probably don't get done with Raw and SmackDown until probably, I'd say, Thursday to Friday. But when there's a pay-per-view, you know, boy, that's a lot of catching up to do. We have to watch the full Sunday pay-per-view. Then we have Monday and Tuesday. So, you know, when I say we, you know, my son and I and my daughter. So, and we hate watching it alone. We need to be with each other when we're watching it. So that's how we do it. And I think that's actually how to make it work, because I feel that you have to watch the whole thing. It's you can't. I don't fast forward any of it. Watch the whole thing. So I really want to absorb it all and find out exactly what's going on. To me, that enhances the enjoyment of it.
It does. And what's also a really cool deal in what you just mentioned is that it's a family event, that you've really grabbed your son and your daughter, and that's awesome that you've really bonded with them over that. And that doesn't happen often, especially at the age of 14. I remember when I was 14, or even 10 years old, like your son, things I was watching was not exactly what my parents were watching. I mean, they had no interest in at least what was going on in professional wrestling. So the fact that you can use that, not just for something that you enjoy, but to spend time with your kids who also enjoy, I mean, that's just like a win-win all the way around, which is awesome. And as you mentioned too, I mean, you coming into this for the first time, and you're able to bond and discuss it, and you watch everything. You don't fast forward. Although, as you just mentioned, I'm a big fan of the Hulu version too. And with my 9-month old son and my wife, and trying to also balance a full-time job, I'm also an Uber and Lyft driver. I mean, I've got like things that are just like, you know, sucking up 95% of my time. So the Hulu version is a godsend. I mean, as you said, I don't fast forward through things, and that hour and a half, it's condensed. So you're going to miss segments of Raw. That's when I go back. I'll go to YouTube. I'll just at least read what happened. And so, when you have a pay-per-view, then you said you have a Monday Night Raw and then a SmackDown, it is a lot of content to absorb, and to find time to do all of that is, I mean, if you're a trial lawyer, as you just said, time is of the essence, and time is very few and far between. So to make time to see it with your family and sit down, I mean, that's a really cool deal.
Yeah, and if I hit the lottery, I'll really get into 205 Live and NXT, but I just don't have that time just yet.
Yeah.
Even though I'll peek in every once in a while to try to, because I like that kid Drake Maverick. I think he's pretty funny, and I see him on 205 Live, and, you know, we get a kick out of it, you know, watching some of those guys.
No, I totally agree. I mean, 205 Live and NXT are like pipe dreams right now. I mean, I'll read what goes on, but I just simply don't have the time. There's no physical time in my life for me to sit down and watch those. I would love to, but yeah, it's a tough deal. And obviously, you mentioned you're a Yankees fan. I'm a big Yankees fan, so with baseball season about a month away, I mean, my time's even going to be cut even shorter. So, listen, I mean, this is a deal with WrestleMania season just about a month and a half away, maybe not even that anymore, but what, five, right, 6 weeks away. This is an awesome time to be a fan. And those who are you know, kind of the closet fans, as I like to call them, that are, well, I don't like to let people know that I'm a fan of wrestling, sort of come out of the woodwork and go, well, what's going on? I mean, you notice people will come out of it and go, oh, well, who's going to be at WrestleMania? Is The Undertaker going to be there? Is Stone Cold? Is The Rock? All they care about is seem to be the big names. But for you and me, who have been watching the product and have been following every step of the way, at least, I mean, even for the last 6 months, there's no better time to be a fan. So let me ask this. Do you have, what are your plans for WrestleMania? Are you going to be attending? I mean, you're not that far from MetLife Stadium.
I thought about it, and I'm still on the fence, and here's why. Two reasons. One, it's going to be cold, you know? I'm curious, like, what are their contingency plans if there's a bad storm or whatnot? But also, you want to know why I don't know if I want to go? Because I got the best seat in the house in front of my big screen TV, and I think I really want to just watch it and listen to it and absorb it. I mean, this is the first WrestleMania I'm really going to be watching in my whole life that I could recall. I remember when I was a kid, WrestleMania, you would have to go to like movie theaters, and they would this is in the 80s, and you'd have to buy tickets to the movie theater, and they would telecast it. There was no app or Apple TV and whatnot, and I never got the opportunity to do that. We couldn't afford, I guess, to go to the movie theaters or wherever they were. I forget what the word was, but they would like transmitted, movie houses and whatnot. So I think I really just want to watch this one. But then again, it must be cool to be there, because I was in a small house show in Madison Square Garden over the Christmas holidays, and it was rocking. It was really, really neat.
There's no energy like being at a live event. I mean, you can watch it on TV, and I totally get the fact that you might want to just sit in your comfortable living room, have a front row seat, and be nice and cozy with your family there. If push comes to shove, I'd probably choose that. However, that being said, I've been to two different WrestleManias, WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 33 in Orlando 2 years ago, and there is nothing in the world like WrestleMania with thousands of people there. I was there at Camping World Stadium, which had 80,000 people, and the energy in the building is something I can't describe. It's an amazing live experience to be there. However, I was also in Orlando, Florida, and Orlando, Florida in April isn't exactly Orlando or April weather in MetLife Stadium in April. So I totally understand the fact that, hey, it could be 60 degrees and sunny. It could be 40 degrees and raining and snowing. You have no idea what's going to happen in MetLife Stadium with the weather. And so totally understand that. I probably would choose the latter, but it is tempting being somewhat right down the road from you and where you are. So a couple other things I want to chat about, and then we'll wrap this thing up. So you mentioned you don't know really much about Batista. You enjoyed at least what happened. You didn't see it coming. I mean, I didn't really see it coming. Most fans who are veterans of the sport haven't really seen it coming. Is there anything else that, as we get towards WrestleMania, that you're really starting to grasp into? Is there anything else, that any other storylines, whether it's Raw, whether it's SmackDown, that you're really intrigued as to where they're going?
Yes, how they're going to work the NXT guys and gals into some of the storylines, and if they're even going to. I'm wondering, and I'm sure, you know, of course, you guys all know the answers to this. The NXT people, like the minor leaguers that get called up when, a big pay-per-view comes up and they need to fill the content, or are some of these, you know, wrestlers going to be worked in? Like, for example, that kid Ricochet. I mean, this guy looks just unbelievable. And I'm wondering if any of these, the superstars that have been getting some play in the past, you know, week or so, are how they're going to get worked in. And also, I'm fascinated with Dean Ambrose. I don't know why, but for some reason, he's someone that I really kind of like gravitated towards early on. I just feel that they've not been casting him correctly. And you hear on, you know, rumors on the internet that he's going to be leaving the company in another month or so. And I'm curious about that. And again, these are all new things to me. I don't know. Are these negotiation ploys where, you know, he's saying he's leaving in April and just because he wants more money? I don't know, but that's interesting me. And also Roman Reigns. I mean, how are they going to work him into WrestleMania? Are they? I mean, this man was sick. And, you know, can he be you know, a match? And if he is that going to take away from Seth Rollins, you know, his match? You know, that may distract the whole thing. So these are things that I'm curious about, and I'm, you know, looking forward to seeing how they play out.
It's funny you mentioned Dean Ambrose, because it's such a shame that you weren't really watching while he was a part of the Shield, at least the first time they were together, and more recently, even the second time that they had really reformed the Shield. And from everything that I'm reading and seeing, I don't believe that it's a work or a storyline that Dean is leaving. I believe that he will be on the way out at the end of April. And it's a shame. I totally agree with you that he has been misbooked and miscast. And he is a character that is believable on TV. And right now it's almost as if they're treating him kind of secondhand. I mean, it looks like the writing's on the wall with him, because anytime that a star is on their way out, they tend to be doing jobs for the other guy on their way out and doing the favors. And that really should be the way, because why should the guy on the way out be the one to win? I mean, I get it. So everything that I'm reading and seeing and hearing does point to Dean Ambrose leaving, which is a shame. I don't think it'll be forever, but at least probably for the next couple of years, I would think that he's going to be pursuing other things. What those other things are, I don't know. And to comment a little bit on your NXT questions and the fact that they bring guys up and are they really fillers, I would say this. I would say that NXT is viewed by WWE, especially Triple H, who is the brain trust behind NXT, is that they are trying to create themselves and build themselves as a third brand and not just the minor leagues that feed the major leagues of Raw and SmackDown. They are trying to legitimately create a third brand, not just be a feeding ground for the larger brands. With that said, they're not currently there. So you're still having guys that are being called up. And my God, have we gotten a bunch of new faces in the last couple of weeks? I mean, you have Ricochet, which I think leads the pack. There's no question that this guy is, I mean, to say he's athletic is almost insulting to the guy. He is otherworldly when it comes to things that he can do in the ring. It makes me feel just like, is this guy human? I mean, it's unbelievable to watch this guy do what he does. You have guys like Aleister Black, who is very intriguing, very dark. If you've never watched him in NXT, and you're seeing him for the first time, he's an intriguing guy and a guy that I really hope they take care of and treat with a lot of care with his character, and not just kind of win-lose, 50-50 booking. I want to see them actually have a long-term plan for these guys, and that's what scares me with WWE, is they don't have a great track record of long-term booking. They tend to do maybe, well, what's good for this week? What's good for this month? Well, we'll figure it out down the line, and that scares me with these guys. However, as you just mentioned, Ricochet, right now, this guy, whether you've seen him for the first time or the 100th time, when he's on the TV, you're watching, and that's what matters.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, but some of the other NXT people they're bringing up, one, I'm confused about, and two, I quite don't get what they're doing. Like Lacey Evans, for example, I have no idea. She just like comes on the TV, walks around, and then, you know, smile. It's, you know, certain things that they do kind of are confusing when it comes to that. But I'm sure they have a plan, and I'm sure they're eventually going to tighten it all up. At least I hope they do.
Yeah, I mean, Lacey Evans is, look, I think she's a great talent. I would recommend you go back to NXT or maybe just YouTube, which seems to be the way that most people view things, at least if they want to get a quick shot of whatever they want to look at. But Lacey Evans, yeah, I agree. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing. I guess they're trying to establish her gimmick and introduce her to the mainstream audience that has not seen her in NXT. Right now, it's just kind of she just struts out, struts back, and that's the end of that. I would at least like a little bit of a promo. I mean, don't just walk in and out. Give us something beyond that. I mean, if you do that once or twice, okay, but it's starting to get to the point where, like, if you have no idea who this woman is, I want to know who you are. Tell us, give us a little something, even if it's a pre-packaged video of who Lacey Evans is. I mean, something. So, yeah, I agree right now that she's just kind of like flapping out there in the wind, but I am going to give WWE the benefit of the doubt right now and give them the benefit of maybe they do have a plan for her. I hope they do, because she is an extraordinary talent if you've seen her in NXT. And her gimmick has – it's unique. She's kind of this 1920s flapper girl who is, you know, looks like she's in from, you know, 100 years ago. And she's got a great look. She's got that Vince McMahon favorite blonde look who he seems to have a fetish with. And so – Lacey Evans and some of the other NXT women. And by the way, while I'm on this run of NXT women, if you haven't seen the Evolution pay-per-view, I believe that was in, was it November or October? The Evolution pay-per-view is the all women's pay-per-view.
Right.
I would recommend that you definitely check that out. It is one of the best pay-per-views of the year.
You know, it's great you say that, because a guy I work with, Bob, was at that. He took his daughter. His daughter, I believe, is, you know, 8, 9 years old. She's hooked in, and he told me the same thing. And I think that's one of the first pay per views that, you know, when I started getting into this, and I missed that one. And in fact, it was, you know, 10 minutes from my home at the Nassau Coliseum, and I should go back and watch that, especially to tighten up some storylines as we approach WrestleMania season. But yeah, I did hear that was a great pay per view.
It was awesome. Men, women. I mean, I don't care what pay per view you look at the rest of the year. I mean, this to me in the last 5 pay per views was one of the best pay-per-views. It was just, it's amazing when I watch a wrestling show and I get a lot of wrestling. Sometimes that does not always the case, and there's more talking than wrestling. This show, the wrestling did the talking for me, and that's what I love. I needed that. And the women, I mean, some of these matches were blow away. It will leave you like, oh my God, like these women are legit badasses. I loved it. Yeah, highly recommended if you haven't seen it to go check that out. So,
yeah, guess what I'm going to do tonight now that we're talking about this. I'm going to go put it up on. I'm going to watch Evolution tonight. So,
awesome. No, I really don't think you'll be disappointed. It is, especially for the first all women's pay per view, which has never been done in the history of the modern era of WWE. I really think you'll enjoy it. It's a very straightforward, bell to bell, just kick ass, awesome pay per view for the women, and I don't think you'll be disappointed. I hope you don't stay up too late. I don't want to impede on any plans you have the rest of the night, but I don't think you'll be disappointed in that pay per view. So, listen, Tony, do you have anything else regarding today's product that you want to comment on before we ride off into the sunset here?
Yeah, you know, just that I feel, I mean, think about it. I'm probably not the demographic that the WWE is going for. A 44-year-old, you know, father and, you know, business owner and whatnot. But like I may have touched on earlier, the thing that got me is how incredibly talented they are and how dedicated they are to their profession. And I just have a respect for that. You know, as a small business owner, as somebody that, you know, tries to perfect my craft, I really respect that and I enjoy what they're doing. So I'm just really excited. I feel like a kid again, to be honest with you, man. I really feel like I'm a kid again. I get lost in it. I'm at work. I'm getting overwhelmed, and I just think to myself, you know what? In a couple of hours, I'll be on the couch with my little girl, my little boy, and we'll be watching TV, and we'll be laughing, and we'll be enjoying it. The storylines kind of get mixed into my head, and it's not childish. It's really legit entertainment. They do a tremendous job. I'm so excited for the future. I can't wait for WrestleMania. I mean, I got a few of my favorites that I'm rooting for. I'm starting to feel confident now where I'm making a prediction, you know, here and there. And this is a pretty cool journey, man. It really is something that I'm really excited for and looking forward to the future.
It is. You know what? Like, that is what your enthusiasm right now is what I think a lot of wrestling fans need to remember why they watch what they watch, and not just complain about the product and say, WWE sucks. They don't know what they're doing. To me, I mean, first of all, if you're that down on the product, I mean, go watch something else. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, just all they do is just, this doesn't make sense. They should have booked WWE. Like, they're this person like this. This is terrible. I don't know why I watch. Well, then, you know, there's other things out there to watch to entertain you. So for you to talk about WWE in such a positive light, first of all, number one, it's refreshing. Number two, it reminds us why we love watching wrestling in the first place. And to go back to that and be that kid again, as you just mentioned, you feel like a kid again. That makes me like remember sometimes I do this. I guess it's my second job or third job. But at the same time, this is a labor of love. And I have to remind myself, while I am critical of the product at times, I mean, you listen to my show at times, sure. It sounds like I hate the product, but I don't. The reason that I sometimes am critical is because I love the product so much and I want to see it improve because I've seen it for so long. I know at times what I think would work best. Am I in WWE? Do I work for them? No. But as a fan, I have the perspective at times that I don't think WWE does because they're so engaged in trying to put out a good product. And there's so many people who are trying to have their input that they can't see the forest through the trees. And they're so laser focused that they don't see the big picture. So I just overall, I want to make that point that it's cool to hear somebody feel like they're a kid again and not just be so critical of the product. And that's really awesome.
Yeah, it is. Well, I appreciate you, you know, hearing that. And also about you, Matt. And again, I'm not just saying this because I'm on your podcast right now. I've dabbled in trying to get other perspectives and other people. And the fact that you sometimes complained about the product, to me, that's actually a positive because you're being real about it. You're saying, hey, listen, I love this. I expect the best. And if they give me something less than the best, you know, I'm going to be frustrated about it because you know that they can do better. And I actually like that. I actually like when you go on your rant. So I ain't going to lie to you. And I think it's quite entertaining. And so I always look forward to that. So that's
That's really cool to hear. I mean, for those rants, by the way, like for those listening, like I don't do rants just to do rants to get clicks. Like I legitimately have a passion for this. It's a very organic, real thing that I feel whenever I do go on these rants, and I do keep it PG. I'm not one of these podcasts that, by the way, like, you know, you hear all this swearing and cussing. Like first of all, WWE is a PG product. I don't feel that it's being a really smart entrepreneur to also go against what their demographic is, and that's PG. I mean, you can say the occasional soft curse words, but anything beyond that, I stay away from. So I'm glad that you occasionally or you almost always maybe enjoy my rants, and that's really cool to hear. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the show because this is something that I haven't had in such a long time, and that's a new fan, and a fan at your age, and a fan that is also creating family time from this product that you're beginning to love and really learn about. And it sounds like you're catching on pretty damn quick. I mean, everything that you've said to me and everything that you have really been watching and telling me how much you've been watching and that you're a sponge, it feels like you've been listening and sounds like you've been listening for years. So, I mean, that's really cool, and you're starting to make predictions and get a little bit confident, and so it's fun to hear that you're starting to feel a little bit confident and, well, maybe this is where they're going. And so that's a cool place to be. So anything else, Tony, that you want to comment on WWE at the current time?
No, well, you know, that's really it. I mean, I like I said, we kind of touched on everything. I'm you know, truly looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to kind of growing with you, you know, and you know, in your Patreon content and the podcasts, and you know, I'd love to keep in touch with you. You know, maybe see how some of my predictions, some of your predictions go. I think that's what makes this fun is trying to see where they're going to go, not just by the two athletes, you know, teaming up against each other, but how the creative teams are going to take it. Like, you try to think ahead and try to think like them. And I think that's so cool. Like, you know, like Kofi Kingston, you know, I mean, another kind of, you know, like similar story to like a Becky Lynch, where just out of nowhere, at least it appears to me, Mustafa Ali gets hurt. He gets in, boom, he pops. Everybody's loving him. Where are they going to go with that? Do they have to rewrite the script? I love that stuff, you know? So that's kind of where, you know, where I'm looking forward to it. And it just doesn't end. And it's a small regret. I wish I kind of was into this a few years back.
That's not a terrible regret to have. Number one, you can also go back in the WWE Network and see everything that you ever want to see. Yeah. I mean, so the WWE Network is, I don't think kids today, and when I say kids, I mean general kids, an audience for WWE does not really grasp the luxury of the WWE Network and what that is. I mean, I had a time from really when I was 14 when I started watching until, my God, 25 or 26 years old. Before YouTube even really was popular, you had to just scour the internet to try to find videos of wrestling. I remember watching Monday Night Raw on a VHS tape because I was trying to tape Raw so I could watch it the next day. I mean, things that the struggles are just totally going over the head of fans that are either new to the product or who are younger fans that are just getting introduced by maybe their parents. And so the luxury of the WWE Network should not go unnoticed. It's an awesome tool to have if you're ever trying to educate yourself on the business, and it sounds like you are, which is really cool. It's really awesome to have you here. It's cool that you're getting into the product and maybe learning a thing or two from me, whether it's on a rant that I have or just explaining the product or really just reviewing Monday Night Raw or SmackDown. And as we head to WrestleMania season, there's no better time to be here. There's no better time to be a wrestling fan than now with NXT, the women taking over, legacy stars coming back with Batista, Triple H, maybe The Rock at WrestleMania. Who knows? I mean, there's just so many things. And as you said, it's a never ending product. You're always trying to get in the heads of creative to wonder, well, what are they trying to do here? It's a really fun thing to do on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it really is. And hey, at the end of the day, it distracts us from the grind of the daily living. You know, you're a parent, I'm a parent, and full time jobs. You know, it's awesome. And hey, movies, they end after 2 hours. This, it never ends. And again, I think a lot of the fans that I've been experiencing are very intelligent people. It's not like the stereotypical, you know, like idiots that you would hear, like, ah, how could you believe into this crap? Yep. I find it that it's actually very well written and on a higher intellectual level, and you really can get lost into it. And that's why I think, I'm hooked on this. I really do appreciate that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think, as you just said, wrestling fans get a bad rap. I mean, the stereotypical wrestling fan, like you just said, is that guy's an idiot. I mean, you just think of what's a wrestling fan? And I have an image of what comes to mind, and I'm not going to describe it, but we just know what that is. And as you just said, I have almost never met that kind of person. They have always been people that have very well spoken. Everybody I've ever had on this show has been well spoken, has been respectful, and some of the nicest people that you'll ever meet are wrestling fans, and I really truly believe that. And as you said, wrestling is an escape from reality. That's why we watch sports. That's why we watch TV. That's why we watch movies. That's why we, as human beings, we need that escape. And wrestling, professional wrestling, provides that to us through entertainment, through comedy, through athleticism, through simulation of sport, through so many different levels that it appeals to so many different audiences, and it's grabbed you. And that's a really cool thing to bring us out of the moment, bring us out of reality from our lives. And we all have issues going on in our real lives, and that's what wrestling's there for. And that's the cool part. And and especially as I know, I keep going back to it, but the fact that you've made it a family event is an awesome bonus. So I'm trying to really debate with my wife too that my son's going to be a wrestling fan. She's not quite there yet, but we got a little time. He's only 9 months, so maybe in a few years I'll introduce him to a couple matches and we'll see what she says. But I think that you're doing a really awesome thing, and it's been a blast talking to you.
You don't know how much it was for me to do this. I really was looking forward to this all day long. I told my wife, told my kids. I was really, I'm like I said, I'm a kid again, and speaking of my kids, they're going to listen to this. Would you mind if I just gave them that, shout out so that they can get a kick out of it when they're listening to this, whenever you do post it?
No, by all means, the floor is yours.
Well, Anthony Jr., I love you, buddy, and if you don't go to bed on time, I'm going to give you a Claymore kick. Of course, I'm kidding around here. And to my little girl, Annette. She's my she's the apple of my eye, and you're the man, Annette. So They'll get a kick out of that when they hear this.
Indeed, she is the man. And that Claymore kick, that's a brutal finisher. So that is a very brutal finisher. And, I think Drew McIntyre would might approve of it. But, that's a very – one of my favorite finishers is the Claymore kick. So that's cool that you mentioned that. So, Tony, awesome to hear from you. And before you head out, though, let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter.
You know, I don't even know. I gotta be honest with you. I don't really plug anything. I don't. You know, I think my Tony CIAC at Twitter. I think it is. I mean, I follow you, but I would love for somehow. I wish I would have known it, because I would love if anybody wants to contact me to talk wrestling. I love it, and you know. So I don't know. Maybe if you could when you post this, you know, link my Twitter. I'm an old man. I'm not that. Well versed with all this technology here, so. if anybody out there that's listening to this ever wants to just have an honest, really cool conversation, man, I'm up for it. I truly, truly love this, and I'll get again, man. I'll give you another plug. You know, if anybody's just kind of stumbling onto this podcast, you know, follow up with Matt, because he really does, do it the right way. And I've kind of sampled them all, and I think you do it the right way.
Awesome. I mean, mutual love there. That's really cool to hear. And no worries about your technological disadvantages or lack of knowledge. I'll find your handle on Twitter. I know we connected on Patreon, but if you're on Twitter, I will definitely hashtag you or put you in the mention. You'll get on there one way or the other. That's no problem. So, Tony, listen, it's been awesome. I'm really looking forward. We'll have to do this again, because it's especially, you know, the fact that you love it so much. You're new, and you seem very passionate about it. And as we get closer to WrestleMania season, we'll have to reconnect.
Rock and roll, brother. Awesome. Really, really, really enjoyed tonight. You made my Saturday night, man. Thank you.
That's awesome. Take care, and go enjoy wrestling with your kids.
I will, my friend. All right. Hey, God bless you, pal. Thank you.
Take care. All right, and that was Tony Chacho, really cool guy, as you just heard, and I learned a lot from him. I know that you don't have to be a grizzled veteran of the game to learn something, and it's always a great pleasure to be able to talk to people that listen to the show and hear such positive feedback, and so that's always a cool thing. So. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the interview and the conversation. And this podcast will be back next week. And there's some, as I said, I mean, you guys know there's some family stuff going on. It's still going on. So it may interfere with some of this show. I'm going to try to get a normal schedule this week, but it's all going to depend on outcomes of certain things. And so I'm going to try to do a show maybe Wednesday, Thursday, and recap Raw and SmackDown, and just do my normal deal. And so can't promise anything, but I'll keep you guys on the ball on Twitter, which, by the way, follow me at the WWE Podcast there. And anywhere else, guys, I'm on, as I said, everywhere. I'm really everywhere, I hope, anyway, as far as audio goes. All right. Well, that's all we got for today. I'll be back, fingers crossed, later next week with my Raw and SmackDown recaps as we head into the final stop before WrestleMania at WWE Fastlane. I'll be doing predictions and maybe a rant or two. And as always, to some people's chagrin and other people's pleasure. I mean, it just kind of depends on your taste for audio. And as I said in the show, by the way, guys, one quick caveat. I really meant what I said in the show. I don't just do rants to get attention. I do, when I have rants, it's because I feel very passionately about a topic. So it's not complaining, it's constructive criticism about things that I really feel could be better, or something that should be done differently. It's not just to get attention on something that is not really something I feel passionate about. It's always filled with true passion. That's what I think separates this show from others, is that it's not just a nerdy breakdown analysis of a show. It's a real emotion from a real fan. It's not just, well, I think WWE could do this because they're pointing or pushing this individual, but there's signs of so-and-so turning heel, so I don't know if that's going to happen. there's some other shows out there and other individuals that are much more intelligent than me when it comes to the product, and maybe even more better well spoken. I mean, there are shows out there that are just professionally done, and more props to them. But what's missing from their show is passion and a true fan's perspective, not just analysis. That's what separates, I think, this show, is that it's a passionate analysis from a fan that really loves and cares about the product, and not just trying to break things down and outsmart creative. Yes, you may have a podcast that's better spoken than this one, one that has better guests as far as actually bringing big name wrestlers on the show. And so, yeah, that all may be true, but I think what's missing is a true passionate analysis and not just nerdy expert analysis, if that makes sense. Anyway, all right, that was kind of a mini rant. See, I knew I'd get a rant in a show. All right. Thank you guys for joining me as always. I'll talk to you next time.